All right, our good friend is in studio, and the cat is out of the bag. Jeff Goodman, the other day, tweeted this out. Big news out west is John Higgins, long considered one of the top college basketball officials in the country, is now the coordinator of officials for the Basketball Officiating Consortium. I don't even know if that goes on a business card. Would you have a business card now with that?
Well, I don't have it right now. But
Jimmy, you want to?
I'll have to get one, I guess.
That's a wild, long title. Higgins will oversee recruiting, selecting, developing, evaluating, and assigning officials. That seems like a lot. I would rather just work games. For schools hosted in the WBOC, which comprises the Pac-12, Mountain West, WCCC, Big Sky, Big West, WAC. Now, congratulations, but that also means that you're done.
Yeah, it's kind of I don't know if it's sad or I'm happy or whatever. It's just it should be a little bit less travel. Although the last couple of days, I didn't realize I had so many friends out there. The first day, I had probably between 275 and 300 different text messages from people, and probably at least 50 phone calls. So it's kind of subsided since then, but it's. It's been crazy, that's for sure.
All right, so why? I mean, you the last time that you were working, you and Kip were working in the Final Four. Why was this the time to take this opportunity, which is going to be hugely beneficial for the sport?
Well, I am 62 years old, just turned it. These jobs don't come open very often. Mm-hmm. And they called me and asked me to look into it, and I said, and that was at the Final Four, actually, when they asked me to, because Bobby Dobler retired, and I said, okay, I wasn't really thinking about it, but mm-hmm. Okay, I'll look into it, and next thing you know, I'm in an interview process, and then they offer me the job, and I got to, kind of make a decision. My wife's been after me to, get off the road. I've been only doing it for 35 years. So, I guess it is the right time. I'm going to miss the games. I won't miss the travel. That's for sure.
Yeah.
The travel in the last 5-10 years just got to be brutal. And of course I got a text from John Shambi about, so we put your travel schedule out on the ESPN that night, and you quit the game now.
Yep.
Yep, I sure did.
So. The stuff that, and I'm sure this will probably hit you more when the season begins, but the relationship between officials, especially ones that are so visible like yourself, and we've seen it at some of the biggest venues, and the coaches that have been around for a long time. I mean, I know sometimes those relationships in the heat of the moment can be a little bit different, but there's always that respect at the end. I mean, is that the thing you're going to miss the most? I mean, is at least what you anticipate missing the most?
Yeah, I will. Yeah. And all those guys, I mean, they're really intense during the games.
Right.
And then after the game, their face is totally different. Every once in a while, you might get a phone call, or you might get a text, or you get something, and they'll during the game, they want to kill you. And then after the game, they're just like regular people, all of us. They're just competitive, and you got to understand that as an official. But I really miss that part of it because people think that you're enemies and they hate you and we hate them, and that's not like that at all. Most of them, they may not like me during the game, but they respect me and what I do. So and that's what our job is to do.
And you're clearly considered one of the best in college basketball. So there's that part where one of the best is not going to be on the floor for the amount of games that you did across a lot of conferences. So you lose that experience. I know one of the things that we just talked about with your new opportunity is recruiting. We've had discussions about youth sports and in this town of trying to recruit and retain officials, younger men and women to officiate basketball. What about in the college game? Where are we at in terms of recruiting younger men and women to officiate college basketball?
It's actually the same, really. It's the lower levels, obviously people don't want to do it for $20-25 bucks a game, and the numbers are not good in the lower levels, so the numbers are not good on the upper level. Mm-hmm. So we probably aren't getting the quality guys that we got 10, 15, 20 years ago. Because a lot of people want to get into it. It's not so much like that anymore. But the recruiting part of it is going to be a key aspect, especially the first 2-3 years in our job, and to try to retain those guys. Now, my job is to go find crew chiefs, mm-hmm. and which we kind of lack out there a little bit. And I'll be finding crew chiefs, and I got to find young guys that I think have a chance to be that crew chief guy. I usually, you know, you can go watch a basketball game or a baseball game and know if that guy has that it factor. And mm-hmm. I always call it, people make fun of me, I call it that it factor. Like, you know, Michael Jordan had that it factor. Nobody teaches that guy that it part.
Yeah.
I can usually see if a guy or if a referee has that, you know, has that chance to be a crew chief and has that it factor. You can't teach. There's a lot of stuff you can do with mechanics in you know, as far as rotating and stuff on the floor, but you just can't teach that game management, that how they react to different situations, different plays. You can't teach a lot of that part of it.
You mentioned the pay, but as far as challenges of just getting men and women into officiating right now, and again, you've seen how things have evolved over the last year. Heck, I'd even throw in the social media aspect of the pressures that come with it. What would you see the biggest challenge right now? What is keeping maybe the amount of officials where you can get them, you can train them, and you can have them at a pretty solid level, you know, years into their career? What maybe keeps the numbers down in your opinion, other than the obvious money?
Well, you know, well, again, it starts at the lower levels, with the parents, the AAU type coaches, it starts down there. But it's the pressures with social media is really it's awful. I mean, go look at what they when I put out there. I'm retiring. I'm taking this job. I mean, look at all the fans that hated me and all the stuff they put out there. It's mm-hmm. it's kind of comical. But you have to have that mentality as an official that you just don't care. You don't read most of it now.
Yeah.
I don't read any of it, but all my buddies, that college buddies and high school buddies, send me all the pictures of the tweets about, boy, they really love you, Higgins. They really love you, especially down in Kentucky.
Too soon?
What's that?
Too soon?
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm sure I'll probably get a few gifts in the mail from fans, from there.
Well, I mean, I think it's going to be cool next November when you and the family go down to Lawrence and they build the statue outside Allen Fieldhouse.
Yeah, I'm going to have a statue out there. Yeah,
right next to James Naismith. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Hey, so you know, there was the ending of the San Diego State Creighton game. You had an incredible ending the following week where Lamont Butler almost stepped out of bounds. They hit the game-winning shot. We'll get into that in just a little bit. But how should we, media fans, evaluate officials? If you're now being paid to evaluate other officials, how should we evaluate officials to know if that guy is a good official or not and take out all the bias?
I would probably say at the end of the game, just like that game we had,
mm-hmm.
nobody was talking about us.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's talking about us. In comparison of the women's final, everybody's talking about the referees.
Yep.
If you get through a game and they didn't, and we didn't affect the end of the game, especially the last 4 or 5 minutes, that's when it really happens. That's when it really people will be talking about you guys. That was the best thing about that game is that nobody. Like right now, nobody know who refereed that game, guarantee mm-hmm. you. 90% of the referees wouldn't know who refereed that game, and that's a good thing.
In the evaluation process, especially something that you're going to be a part of here with the next part of your career now, is maybe one of the things that shows the most inexperience when it comes to an official is what a lot of people had a gripe about when we go back to that Creighton-San Diego State game, where it seems like there's sort of a tone of letting them play. And then all of a sudden that changes a little bit where maybe the whistles are coming out a little bit more in the second half where, you know, we use this with a baseball reference too, where you can adjust to a strike zone. And if it's consistent, the hitters and the pitchers are going to know exactly what they can attack and what is probably going to be off limits. same way a game is called. Is that one of the maybe the first telltale signs of maybe inexperience is when you start getting a little more whistle happy as opposed to maybe swallowing the whistle early in a game or vice versa?
Yeah, I call that kind of game management.
Yeah.
Know your teams. You know, like for instance, one team that fouls, you know, they're in the upper 5% of teams that foul.
Mm-hmm.
Comparable to a team that in the bottom 5% that teams that foul, and the people think, you know, like the game, they referee a good game if the fouls are 10 to 10 or 12 to 12. Well, that's not really apples to apples, because if this team fouls average 22 fouls a game, this team averages mm-hmm. 7 or 8 or right. 10 fouls a game, and they're even, it just doesn't add up. And, mm-hmm. you know, some officials that aren't smart about their game management.
Yeah.
They may think that they called an even game just because the fouls were even. That doesn't correlate. So right. Game management is something that we've taken out of the game. I referee game management. Like for instance in the Creighton game. If he doesn't blow his whistle, nobody says a word about the play. Neither
true.
Team, mm-hmm, right?
Mm-hmm.
If it's a two-point game or Creighton is up two, he blows the whistle, nobody says anything about the game. Nobody, neither team says anything about it. So you got to think that way as an official. Time score. Now, you're not going to blatantly just, you know, if a guy gets really shoved and affects a shot, you're not going to pass on that play.
Right.
But you got to know time score situation. You got to know who the players are. You got to know who their best players are, because mm-hmm. you want to keep the best players in the game, and that goes all game long. And if you don't have that sense of who the best players on each team, and you know, because I'd rather have the best players in the game at the end of the game than have the eighth, ninth, and tenth guy. There's a reason I had the eighth, ninth, and tenth guy on the court. So I would probably say game management, in my opinion, is something that I would stress a lot on guys. Yeah.
So this might be tied into this. So part of the discussion about the end of that game is, man, that wasn't a foul earlier in the game, but all of a sudden, with a second to go, that's a foul. As an official, what's your reaction?
I go back to doing your homework before the game on knowing the teams, and knowing one team that fouls quite a bit and plays aggressive defense versus the other team that doesn't.
Is that the worst kind of teams? And San Diego State has always been that way, but they're not alone. Is that the worst team to have when you get your assignment and you're like, oh man, I got to face a team, you know, and you saw them in the Final Four,
right?
That's their style.
And that is their style. And their coaches know that, they're going to have so many fouls called against them. They know that. And when they have less than that, they're probably happy as a lark, but mm-hmm. That doesn't bother me. It used to be like West Virginia. I mean, they would foul when they had those really, really, really good guards. They would play full court defense. You'd have 55 fouls in every game that they played, because they play that way, so the other team would play that mm-hmm. way. Now, those games aren't fun to referee because nobody looks good in those games.
Yeah.
You always want a free-flowing game where you don't have any, the ball goes in the hole, you don't have a lot of rebounds, because that's where, you know, if you watch a college basketball game, rebounding, you have 6, 7, 8 guys, especially in, the Big 12 was just like that. Big East is like that. It's like a war underneath. You could have a foul in every single possession in the rebounding areas. So you go back to that Creighton situation. You got to know time and score and game mm-hmm. management.
You know, and when you talk about the game management part, I would think that if I was somebody that was, you know, maybe just sort of cut my teeth, whether it be the high school game or college game, trying to process a lot of that, there could be certain environments, certain venues, certain crowd intimidation, or, you know, just the crowd or the energy alone, that could maybe take you off of your game, or that you're not processing that as much as you should. Were there any time during your career where there were environments where it made it hard to kind of stay that even keel, keeping the perspective of game management and being able to make sure you are staying, you're keeping all of the emotion in the building out of any calls or any type of flow of the game.
I always thought that in the arenas where there's nobody there, I'd lose my concentration more than if it was a full house, 18,000 people screaming, hollering at you. I liked it when there's 18,000 people screaming and hollering at you, because you know you have the right call.
Mm-hmm.
You know you've done your job because everybody's screaming and hollering at you. You just know it. So those never bothered me a bit. I embraced that. That was the fun part of the game. That was the kind of got your juices flowing. So I concentrated more. I was better in those games than I was in the games there was 3,000 people, and you could hear every pin drop, and everybody from the up and upper deck hear them talk to you. I was much better in a big environment with big crowds than I was in a small environment.
Hey, there's always that point of emphasis that we hear in November that sometimes doesn't linger to February and March. What you guys are looking for? It's been block charge. It's been contact. You know, we saw more of, well, if he gets fouled but the bucket goes in, we let the foul go. That's what just seemed like a lot this year. What's like the next thing in college basketball that worries you about the way the game is officiated as guys are getting bigger, stronger, faster? That is going to be the thing that's going to be really like focused on in the next couple of years in the college game.
Well, I haven't been to the NCAA meetings yet. What they've talked, in fact, they're talking, they're going, having their meetings now, what their next area of concentration is. But regardless of what they do, you have to have, as an official, consistency. Coaches want consistency from one end to the other. Doesn't matter how you call it, you got to have that consistency. So, you know, I think that in the college game, is, you know, the physicalness of basketball has gotten, I think, probably in some leagues, it's gotten out of control. So we need to probably have more whistles. Now, the problem is there's coaches that coach that way, then they get all PO'd about that you're blowing your whistle more on that team than they are on this team. Well, this, you know, again, you go back to the San Diego State Creighton. One team fouls, one team doesn't. One team plays physical, one team doesn't. So it will help some teams and it will hurt some teams. But consistency when it comes to the next thing, I don't think they're going to change anything major, although this is a rules change year, so we'll find out what they're going to do. I know there's some mechanic things with referees are going to change, and they're going to I don't know if they're going to try it this year, or if they're going to actually implement some of them. So
when you're the lead, and you talk about crew chiefs in finding that type of official, what, if, just from your perspective, what's that communication like before a game when you're talking, especially if you have maybe someone that is going to be on your crew that you haven't had a lot, you know, maybe a little bit more new to you. What is that communication like before the game, and even at halftime too, as you've had that first half of the game play out? What are you doing to sort of make sure everybody's on the same page, so to speak?
First thing I'll tell them, you have a little box right here that you can control. Stay in your area, okay? Mm-hmm. Stay away from the coaches. I'll take care of the coaches. What happens is the younger guys get in, and they'll say something to a coach, and it will piss them off.
Yeah,
and that's the worst thing that can happen in a game, especially if it's a younger, up and coming guy. So I always tell them, we all have a third of the area of the court. Just take that third and shrink that about in half, and you get the easy stuff. We'll take care of the other stuff, and the game should be fine. And stay away from the coaches. That's my, and then I used to say that to Brooks Wells all the time, the kid from Grand Island that I got in, and now I don't have to say that to him anymore, because he's good enough where he can reach out if he has to and come and get a play in front of me if I don't blow my whistle on something, but. 9 times out of 10, I tell them to just stay in your area and we'll take care of the game.
Yeah.
Stay away from the coaches.
All right, which coaches are you going to miss the most?
Oh, I'll miss all of them.
That's
knew you were going
great answer. I tried.
I'll miss all of them. It's going to be a totally different, when I've talked to a bunch of them on the phone already. And they're just like we are sitting here talking. They're good guys, and they have no complaints. And I realize you know, during the game. And, you know, they think with their heart, not with their brain at that time. And I understand that. And referees have to understand it. But outside, they're just like we are. They're just good guys. They're just trying to get a job done like we're trying to get a job done. And I know I'm going to get phone calls, and they're going to be MFing me. I'll listen to them and say, are you done yet? Okay. So it'll be fun. I think it'll be a challenge, that's for sure. It'll be way different than it is now, where now I'm going to have, you know, I'm in control of 67 schools. So, you know, 33 coaches are going to be mad because, you know, during league season, because somebody's going to lose, right? And so they're going to, I'm sure I'll get a few phone calls, which is okay. I did think about that when I refereed. I didn't have anybody calling me after games. And that will be a change, but that's the way it goes.
Inevitably, you're going to miss the thrill of a big Monday game at Allen Fieldhouse when you walk onto the floor for the second time right before tip and the place is packed and they're singing the fight song. And, I mean, how do you replace that?
That's a great question. I don't think you can replace that, but I think,
or even to the Final Four when you walk in Houston this past April and there's 80,000 people.
Yeah,
you won't ever be able to replace that. It comes a time in everybody's career, I think, that, you know, I didn't know it was that time, but that, you know, it's ready to go. I'd love to work 3, 4, 5 more years, but again, these jobs don't come off open very often, but you're never going to replace that thrill that you walk into an arena or you walk out and they're booing the hell out of you, and they're just you won't replace that. You're never going to get the, you know, when Michael Jordan walked away, when all those great players walk away, it's hard for them, and it will be hard for me but I'll still be close to the game, obviously, and rooting on my guys and be in that part of it. It'd just be a little bit different phase.
Randy has a question here. Randy may know you.
I've got an urgent question. How many air miles have you got built up, and how's your wife going to spend them?
Well, that's a great question. I got like 3.5 million Marriott points.
Oh,
phew. I have 2.5 million Southwest points.
Oh my God.
I got plenty of time. I know, she kicks me out of the house. I do have a place to stay, at least at a Marriott for probably a year or two.
Yeah, I would think so.
So I got a lot of miles built up. And I won't quite use them yet, because I'll have to do some traveling with this job, probably at least half as much. But yeah, I've built up a lot of frequent flyer miles and hotel stays.
We had you on after Shambi on a big Monday revealed your schedule. What's the closest you came to not making your assignment, weather related?
Oh boy, it's been a lot of years since I've missed a game for weather related. Well, the very first game I ever worked in my life.
You almost missed it?
Drake. Very first game. I'm excited. The weather's terrible. I was stuck. So the game's at 7 o'clock at night. Mm-hmm. I left at 9 a.m. For a 2-hour drive, right?
Yeah.
So I was stuck on I-80 for probably 3 to 4 hours and didn't think I was going to make the game. And back there was no cell phones back then.
Yeah.
And you're stuck on the interstate like solid ice. Finally, we get moving, and I get to the arena about 7:15, and they said, you don't have to referee the game. And I know you're stressed out and all. I'm like, no, I'm refereeing this game. I got here, I'm refereeing this game. So, but I probably missed maybe half a dozen to a dozen over my entire career is all.
That's not bad considering all the places you go.
No, yeah, it's really, well, you know, we're professional as referees. We're professional travelers. We know where we stay. We stay the same place all the time. We know exactly the flight details and abbreviations to all the cities and all that stuff. We know all that stuff.
Yeah. Hey, one quick listener question, and this comes from Mike McKnight, who you know. He wants to know, how about the end of the game when a team you assume will start to foul and the ref calls a foul anticipating this but actually isn't? This happened in the Nebraska-Purdue game earlier this year. How do you handle that when you know that a team is forced to foul, not anticipating you're going to blow your whistle before you see actual contact?
Well, first of all, I shouldn't blow your whistle before you see it, but that's a good question, Mike. Hopefully I didn't do that game. I didn't blow the whistle on that play.
It wasn't me.
Yeah, it wasn't me. No. I don't know how to answer that question, to tell you the truth. I mean, officiating is a hard game, and especially when you know they're trying to foul.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you can get away with it. You know, it was close. You know what you're trying to do. You're trying to stop the clock. Everybody knows what you're trying to do. But that's a good question. I can't answer what I would do. Hey, maybe go to the coach. I screwed it up. That's all. Yeah. And that's all you can do when you screw a play up.
Yeah. Well, hey, congratulations. I think I share the sentiment because we want college basketball to have the best of the best officiating, and you're one of the best. So that's the part I'm bummed out about. But I think I'm happy for you because I think this is great to grow that part of the basketball game in the officials, which is in a, you know, interesting transition right now, and you're going to have your hand in it to try and find the next John Higgins.
Well, at least I hope so. It's been, and I try to do it locally too at the younger levels. And I'm getting, hopefully I got some guys around here I can teach and train and help them elevate to where they can get to where I've been.
Well, so it's been Kip and Brooks.
Well, yeah, I've helped both those guys get to where they're at now, and they've done a great job. So hopefully I can get a few more guys to that level. Well, yeah, it'd be fun.
I appreciate it. We'll stay in touch because we're going to have lots of questions.
Thanks.
You become a regular on the show.
Hey, man, let's do it.
All right. That's John Higgins, brand new job for him as he makes the transition into no longer officiating, but will be finding the next great officials out there. Thanks, Higgy. When we come back, your chance to win a gift card from Oscar's Pizza and Grill. We're going to play Florida, Iowa, or Nebraska, man, or is it the other 47? 951-1620. Get in line. Your chance to win a gift card from Oscar's Pizza and Grill.